The following is a seminar entitled Spiritual Perfection in Householder Life, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 18th, 2014, in Hong Kong, China.
So, I've been asked to speak about spiritual perfection in householder life. Actually, the Pune Temple has put together a book for householders, and they asked me to write a chapter for that book. So that chapter is published on a site called iskonstandards.com. If you go to that site, iskonstandards.com, and you click on Spiritual Perfection, House Out of Life, you'll see the whole essay that I wrote. So, let's see here, we're looking. Tonight we're going to start off by reading from Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number
32.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yepeshu papayonaha. Triyo Vaishashtata Shudras Te Piyanti Param Gitim Mam Hi Parta Vyapashritya Yepishu Papayonaha Striyo Vaishashtata Shudras Te piyanti param gatim. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Sanaprita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and shudras workers, can attain the supreme destination. Purport. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, it is stated that even the lowest, who are called shandalas, dog-eaters, can be purified by association with the pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men anyone can take to it. The most simple man taking shelter of the pure devotee can be purified by proper guidance. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, brahmanas, the mode of passion, kshatriyas, or administrators, and mixed modes of passion and ignorance, vaishyas or merchants, and the mode of ignorance, shudras or workers. Those lower than them are called shandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, the association of those born in sinful families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna is indicated here by the word vyapashritya. One has to take shelter completely of Krishna, then one can become greater than the great jnanis and yogis.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Pada Kamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishokan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesu Shunyavadi Paschat Yadesatarine.
How much we are blessed by the sublime teachings of His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asta Tarasada Shri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Prabhupada is teaching all of us how we can become the pure devotees and how we can get out of this hell called the material world. Sometimes household life is called the dark well. But it doesn't have to be the dark well. Prabhupada pointed out one time in a lecture he gave in Gorakhpur, India. On the 12th of February 1971, that there are 12 great Mahajanas, the great pure devotees. And if you count which ones are brahmachari sannyasis and which ones are grihasthas, it's very interesting. So we'll count on each hand, you see. We don't have enough fingers, but we'll try. Lord Brahma is a grihastha, okay? Narada Muni is a brahmachari. Lord Shiva is a grihastha. Kumara is brahmachari. Lord Kapilade brahmachari. Svayambhuva Manu grihastha. Svayambhuva Manu. Prahlad Maharaj grihastha. Janak Maharaj grihastha. Bali Maharaj grihastha. Yamaraj grihastha. That's seven, and then we got Brishmadev and Sukadev as brahmachari. So it's 7 to 5. You got 7 grihasthas and 5 brahmacharyas. The guess who wins? The grihasthas beat out the brahmacharyas in the 12 mahajans. So, my dear grihastha devotees, don't give me the excuse I'm a grihastha. I cannot become a Paramahamsa, I cannot become a pure devotee because I'm grihastha, everyone knows.
But
we don't want the sannyasis and brahmacharis to become discouraged, do we? So if you count the four kumaras as four, then the brahmacharis win. But that is not the traditional way of counting. They're called 12 great Mahajans, not 15 great Mahajans. So according to the traditional way of counting these great authorities, the grihasthas win. Does that mean I'm a grihastha, I can do whatever I want, I can gratify my senses, I can become a Mahajan because I'm... No. If you want to be a Mahajan as a grihastha, you have to follow the Mahajan grihastha pathway. You cannot follow Grihamedi Marg and become a Grihastha Mahajan. You have to follow the real Grihastha Marg. Grihastha means Grihastha Ashram. So who is the great example of Grihastha Ashram? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has given a very nice bhajan in which he teaches the perfect mood for householders. Amara bodhite prabhu are kichunai tumi amara matra pita bandhu bhai. O Lord, nothing further remains that may be called mine. O Lord, nothing further remains that may be called mine. Nothing can be called mine. Father, friend, brother. You alone are all these to me. Bandhu dara sutta sutta lava dasi das seto sambande sabe amaya prayas. My friends, wife, sons and daughters are now your servants and maidservants. Whatever care I take for them is only as they are related to you. Danna janna griha dara tomara boliya rakkariya me matra sevaka hoya. Declaring that my wealth, family members, home and wife are truly yours. I continue as a mere servant. To dutifully protect them. Tomara karyera tarde upari uparji bodhan tomara sangsare vyaya kariba vahan. For the purpose of your service, I will earn money and bear the expense of maintaining your household. See the mood of Bhaktivinoda? He doesn't think my wife, my house, my bank balance. No. This all is the property of Krishna and I'm just a servant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked a job just like our householders work jobs, you see. But when he went to work, it was not for maintaining his household. You understand? It was for maintaining Krishna's household. Therefore, he was not entangled. Going to work means Krishna seva. Balomandana hi jane seva matro kori tomara sangsari ame vishaya prahari. I know nothing of what is good or bad. I simply render my service. I am but a watchman set to guard the properties of your household. Tomara ichchayamara indiya chalana shravana darshana grane bhojane vasana. I exercise my senses only according to your direction. And thus I desire to hear, see, smell, and taste. Nija sukha lagi kichu nahi koriar bhakti vinoda bole tamve sukha sar. I no longer do anything for my own pleasure. Bhaktivinoda says, your pleasure is the essence of everything. So now do you see why he was a liberated soul even when he was in the Grihastha ashram? He did not take Grihastha life as an opportunity to enjoy his senses. He simply took it as an opportunity to serve Krishna. That's
all.
So, how can the Grihastha devotees follow this pathway? Prabhupada made it very simple. He said, chant at least 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And follow these regulated principles. No illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. And no gambling. Prabhupada taught us from the very beginning what this meant. Even in the very beginning in 1966, when this was completely foreign culture to the American people. He came right in the middle of the hippie movement. The hippies' philosophy was you can have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want. And Prabhupada said, no illicit sex. If you're a brahmachari, you're a sannyasi, you're vanaprastha, no sex at all. And if you're married, you can have sex only once in a month. If you're trying to make your wife pregnant. Otherwise, brahmachari, your husband brahmachari. So how is it possible for householders to do that? It's not, some householders say it's impossible. We can't follow that. It's too difficult. But there are many householders who do follow that and find it easy to follow that. So what's the secret of how the householder can easily follow that principle? Well, if we turn to Bhagavad Gita, text 2, text 59 in chapter 2, we get some hints as to how that can be an easy thing. Vishayavani Vartante. Nirahara Shidehina. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste with sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So what does that higher taste mean? In the material world, sex is considered the highest taste. So higher taste means you taste something better than sex. So is there something better than sex? Yes. What is it? Krishna.
Krishna.
Krishna. That's better than sex. You say, how's that possible? Just those two little syllables is better than sex? Are you kidding? If we told somebody on the street, they think we're crazy. You better call the police. There's a madman on the street. That vibrating Krishna is better than sex? How could that be possible? Well, why don't we listen to one of the great authorities of Vaishnava, Sampradaya, Rupa Goswami, and see what he has to say about this. Rupa Goswami has given a very nice verse in what's called the Pajavali. It's a compilation of verses. This one he has listed as number 14 in this Pajavali.
And
here's how the verse goes. Tunde tandamani vitang vitanitai tundavali lamdiye kanna krodha kadamani gatayate kunamriya bevraspaham cheta prangana sangini vijayate savindriyanam kritim no jani janita kshiyad biramitai krishne divarnadvai. Now you may think, well, this must be a very esoteric verse only to be privately studied by advanced devotees. But you've heard of that popular singer called George Harrison, the Beatles?
Yeah.
Papa told George Harrison to make a song out of this verse, a popular song. So to my knowledge, George did not do that. But I'm trying to popularize that verse now by my seminars on the rest of it. So would you like to hear the translation of that verse? You'd like to hear the translation? Okay. It's really an amazing translation. I mean, it's really an amazing translation. He says, Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate the syllables Krishna, Krishna himself is dancing on my tongue. I have Krishna himself dancing on my tongue. And there's so much nectar oozing out from Krishna that my one little mouth just can't hold all that nectar.
So my Lord, I'm begging for the benediction. Please give me millions of mouths. So I can capture some more of that nectar. And then Rupa Goswami says, when those syllables Krishna enter through my ears, there is so much nectar that my two little ears just can't capture all that nectar.
So
I need billions and trillions of ears to capture at least a little more of that nectar. And then when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I am stunned, I am paralyzed in a state of transcendental bliss. So, someone may say, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but it doesn't seem better than sex to me. I'm still carried away by sex. I go down the street, look at all those pretty girls over there, the half-naked girls in Hong Kong. I'm checking all the girls. And when I chant Hare Krishna, I'm not saying, I'm saying somebody would say it. I don't say that I'm saying it. Okay. I can't understand how Hare Krishna could be better than sex, because I chant Hare Krishna and I walk on the street, but I'm more attracted to the girls than I am to Hare Krishna. So what's the deal? They could ask, you see. So what does it boil down to here? What's the bottom line? It's the quality of your chanting, Prabhu. It all boils down to the quality of your chanting. Are you chanting qualitatively? Or are you not chanting qualitatively? If you don't chant qualitatively, girls are going to be more attractive than Krishna. But if you do chant qualitatively, you will see that Krishna is more beautiful than all the girls put together, you see. That no, the only reason a girl looks good is because she has a little bit of Krishna Shakti in her, that's all. In other words, you become completely attracted to Krishna. Today I got an email, or actually yesterday I got an email from a gentleman who's on my e-course, and he said, how can we say that Krishna is all attractive and practically nobody's attracted to him? So I explained to this gentleman, actually everyone is attracted to Krishna. Directly or indirectly. This material world is also Krishna, it's his material energy. So actually Krishna is all attractive. Everyone's attracted by Krishna, either directly in the spiritual energy or indirectly in the material energy. So being attracted is not a bad thing. For us to be attracted to something is natural. So a rough analogy, why be attracted to a
Hong Kong dollar when you can be attracted to the treasury that holds all the money? You see what I'm saying?
所以我就譬如俾一個比喻就係點解你要受一啲港幣所吸引咧？如果你面前係一個好大嘅寶藏嘅話
，Why be attracted to a nugget of gold？
點解你要受一丁點嘅金所吸引
？When you can be attracted to the whole mine？
如果你前面有成大個金礦嘅話
，So this material world is a little teeny weeny insignificant infinitesimal fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction。Of the potency of Krishna. So, as Dhruva Maharaj said, why be attracted to a broken piece of glass when you can be attracted to a rare gem, you see? Therefore, because we are attracted to the dirt of this material world right now, you see, there is a remedial process to bring us back to our original, natural, healthy state of consciousness. That is called the Bhakti Yoga system. That is taught by great acharyas. If we enroll in their training course, they will liberate us from this attachment to the material nature. They will bring us to the transcendental platform, where we can relish the sweetness of Krishna at every minute. Whether we are in the temple, whether we're walking down the street, whether we're working in some office, or we're back in our home doing our household activities. One who actually tunes into this higher dimensional reality by developing love for the Supreme Person, lives with Krishna at every minute within his heart. Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavad Gita purport, the pure devotee doesn't even desire to go back to Godhead. He only desires the association of Krishna. In that association he gets wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, he gets that association of Krishna. He can be in Vrindavan and associate with Krishna. He can be in Hong Kong and associate with Krishna. He feels the presence of Krishna everywhere, the Great One. In his heart is fully absorbed in loving service to his beloved Lord 24 hours a day. So, the principles of how to become happy in grihastha life and exactly the same as brahmachari and sannyasi life. There's really no difference.
所以我們怎樣可以在居士的生活當中變得快樂呢？其實上這個原理是跟作為一個精壽生活的唐僧是一樣的。This
Hare Krishna movement is a movement for brahmacharis.
事實上這個 Hare Krishna的活動是一個精壽生的運動。
We have five kinds of brahmacharis here.
我們在當中有五種的精壽生。
We have brahmachari, brahmachari. Brahmacharini, brahmachari. We have grihastha brahmacharis. We have vanaprastha brahmacharis. And we have sannyasa brahmacharis. So Brahmachari Prabhupada means who only has sex for producing Krishna conscious children. That is Brahmachari.
There's
nothing wrong with having sex. One of my disciples from Uruguay, he just wrote me today, Guru Maharaj, my wife and I want to have a child, will you bless us to try to have a child? I immediately gave my blessings for them to try to have a child. You see. Following Prabhupada's system, have sex only once in a month, just after the lady's menstrual cycle. After the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa. I have an interesting story about that 50 rounds of japa. I can tell you the story. When I was a brahmachari back in about 1973, I was standing one day in the yard of our Miami temple. Actually, it was an amazing yard. We had banyan trees, so many banyan trees in the yard. It was actually like a canopy. It was a canopy. It was a forest of banyan trees, and the temple's right in the middle. It was amazing. If you study the Nectar Devotion, you see that worshipping the banyan is one of the items of bhakti. So to have a temple in the midst of all the banyan trees is very, very auspicious. So anyway, I was standing there under the banyan tree. And one grihastha devotee and his wife, they approached me. And the man said, Sankarshan Prabhu, I just wanted to share something with you. Last night my wife and I we chanted 50 rounds. We both chanted 50 rounds. We wanted to try to have a Krishna conscious child. But after we chanted 50 rounds, we were getting so much nectar from the name of Krishna. We both decided, let's wait till next month before we have sex. In other words, they were all ready to have sex, and it was ordained as spiritual, religious sex, non-different from Krishna, but they said, no, let's wait till next month. Because this Krishna Nam is so wonderful. We're on the spiritual platform now, chanting Hare Krishna. We don't want to come to the male-female platform after this, all this sweet chanting, you see. So, Krishna consciousness really is a higher taste. It's not some kind of hype. Some kind of false advertising. That Prabhupada wanted to create a religious cult and he gave you all these ideas. No. This is a scientific process of how to completely free oneself from bodily identification. You see, bodily identification is what keeps us entangled in karma chakra. We are thinking male or female, black, white, Chinese, African, American, all these designations. What does Rupa Goswami say? Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat padat vena nirmalam Rishikendra Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. Give up all these upadis, these material designations. I'm not male, I'm not female. You see, give it up, give it up, give it up. And you give up all the contamination of the mind. What are the my contaminations of the mind? There is one list of six items. Karma, lobha, krodha, lobha, maddha, maya, vasarya. Lust, anger, greed. Madness.
疯狂.
Let's see, madness and what's the other one? See, madness, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy.
Yeah.
So we have to give up these things. And become re-established in our actual identity, I am the servant of Krishna. It does take time. One has to be patient. Krishna, Nama Ruchi does not come instantly. Just like a college degree doesn't come easily, it comes with hard, years of hard work. So to get Nama Ruchi, you have to work hard for many years. That's described by Rupa Goswami. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Satabhya Vidya Pato Tapascharashanashana Rochikanu The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya ignorance cannot taste anything sweet. It is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue. And his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Kindly focus on the essence of this verse for us sadhakas. Carefully chant every day. That's the key. If we will carefully chant every day, then day by day, week by week, month by month, year after year, then we will feel it, how the Krishna sun is arising within our heart. Driving away all illusion. Destroying all confusion. Bringing about a total, complete transfusion of consciousness. And wow, is it great. And I can't wait to get there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings like that. Kabe habbe bolo se dinamar. When oh when will that day be mine? Aparada Gucci Shudaname Ruchi
Kriba bole habe hirido ye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So it's when, oh, when will that day be mine? When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine, when, oh, when will that day be mine? So, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, this is what we can do. Right now, we're in this fallen condition. Let's admit it. We're lusty. We get angry. We're greedy. We're mad. We're illusioned. We're envious. And to top it all off, we're lazy. I'll just admit it, you know. But it, we can hanker for that day, you see. When will that day come when I'll really develop love for Krishna? You see? Actually, Lord Chaitanya said like them. He said, I have no love for Krishna. So if Lord Chaitanya says, I have no love for Krishna, then what is my position? Can I think I have any love for Krishna? If Chaitanya says I have no love for Krishna, and he said the proof is this, I am now physically associated, physically separated from my Lord. But in spite of the fact that I am separated from my Lord, I am still maintaining body and soul together. Therefore, this proves I have no love for Krishna, because if I did, I would die immediately in his separation. So, the real conclusion, or the essence of this seminar is this. Spiritual perfection in household life means you have to cultivate the mood of pure devotional service. Householders have equal access to this mood of cultivation. So now I can ask if there's any questions. In many places I have them write the questions on paper, but there's no paper. I'm a little deaf, it's hard for me to hear. Huh? Yeah, if you ask the translator, then she'll repeat it. She'll amplify it for me. Questions. Challenges.
Oh, so when some devotees, when they initially when they start their practice, sometimes there may be some conflicts with their family members, like what they eat, their diet, and so on. So how can they deal with the conflicts at the beginning?
With their material, their karmic family.
Yes, with their karmic family.
Yeah. Yeah, I also had
I know what you're saying. I went through the same thing myself. My karmic parents. Yeah.
The thing is this.
You have to. Do your parents want you to be happy? Is this your parents especially?
Okay. Yeah.
Do your parents want you to be happy or not? So they want you to be miserable or they want you to be happy?
I think happy.
Yeah. See, that's what you have to say. My dear mom and dad, I love you so much. You've given me everything. You taught me how to tie my shoes, how to use everything I know from you. Mm-hmm. I'm eternally indebted to you for your wonderful love you've given me. And I'm sure you want me to be happy in life, don't you, mom and dad? You want me to be very happy, right?
Oh yes.
Oh yes, my dear son, we want you to be happy. So, my dear mom and dad, then you'll support me in my attempts to be happy. Right? Wherever my heart leads me to be happy, I'm sure you'll be supportive, even if it's not your way of being happy. I'm sure you'll support me in that, won't you, Mom and Dad? Yes, my dear son, because you love us so much and we love you so much. However you want to be happy, we will support you, even if we don't. It's not our way of being happy. So in this way, you have to be very loving and very sweet with your parents. You see. And that will inspire them to be very loving and sweet with you. And now I think, well, I don't know what this Hare Krishna is, but I've never seen my son be so loving and sweet, so it must be okay. I know one devotee, he never would want to do chores around the house, but after he became a devotee, he went home, he was doing all the chores, and the parents were going, wow, he's doing all the chores around the house without being asked. Wow, that's amazing. Any other questions?
When I serve my parents, what's the difference when I think I serve my parents and I serve Krishna's poverty, my parents belong to Krishna, I serve Krishna's poverty. When I think like this, I don't know the result. Why the result is different? When I think
you have to
you have to
amplify
for me.
Yeah. Tell me a minute.
How I serve them? When I think I serve Krishna's poverty, how can I serve them?
Can you help me understand what she asked? Repeat it for me. You don't understand it? Huh?
She is saying that she serves her parents.
I can hear Pali, but yeah.
Parents, and she's serving Krishna, so how she can serve the parents and see that Krishna and that they are the property of Krishna?
How can she? Yeah, she doesn't want photographs. So, how can you serve? How can you be in the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, serving your parents, seeing them as the property of Krishna?
Yes, I can't find the difference.
She cannot find the difference.
Huh?
She cannot find the difference that when she is serving her family members, her parents, and serving...
Oh, she sees that it's all one.
Yes.
Well,
can I translate the question, please?
You have to understand in Vaishnava philosophy.
Yes. Good. Can I translate the question? Okay. 個問題就係佢的個 Mataji 佢覺得佢服務自己父母同服務 Krishna 嘅同時，佢唔知有咩分別咁。
Arjuna had the same problem. He thought that serving his family members is the same as serving Krishna. But Krishna said, kill your family member. And so Arjuna couldn't understand it and he became bewildered. So we're not saying you should kill your family member. But the point is, you have to do whatever Krishna wants you to do. Your family members may want you to eat meat. But that doesn't mean that Krishna is asking you to eat meat. You have Krishna is the supreme authority. Parents also have authority. But when they contradict the authority of Krishna, then their authority has to be ignored. Your parents are not Krishna. They are tiny part and parcels of Krishna. And you had millions of parents in millions of lifetimes also. The parents you have now were not your parents in previous lifetime. You have one parent actually, and that's Krishna. For all of eternity, he is your father. So Krishna ordered us to honor our mother and father. So we do that because Krishna has ordered us to do that. We, in that sense, we see our parents as representatives of Krishna.
But
when they contradict what Krishna says, because they're in a state of illusion, therefore we cannot follow them. Is this clear to you? Do you understand this?
Okay.
Yeah, just like my grandmother. She said, well, why didn't you become a Christian minister? And then my father said, why don't you just get a, do something for society, like get a job in a hospital? So, I just kind of laugh at these foolish statements. I mean, I love my old grandma. She was a fun character, actually. And I love my parents also. But I had, as a disciple of Prabhupada, I had to know where to draw the line because I have one authority and that's my spiritual master. Prabhupada encouraged us to have a good relationship with our parents. He even endorsed the principle that every devotee should buy a Bhakti Godhead subscription for their parents. And when parents of devotees came to visit, Prabhupada was very, very kind and very gracious, received them very, very wonderfully. He received the parents of his devotees. There's an interesting story in this connection. I can't resist telling it. An interesting story. From the old days at 26 Second Avenue, the original ISKCON Center. Prabhupada had initiated two brothers. Gargamuni and Brahmananda. So the mother came to the initiation ceremony. They had a special chair for VIPs. Only one, just like you have the folding chairs over there, you see. So the mother got the folding chair, a special VIP chair. And so Prabhupada, after he initiated him, he says, and Prabhupada was struggling just to pay the rent. I mean, it was very difficult. They were very poor, very poor. So Prabhupada asked the mother, he said, you know, I'm maintaining your sons now. I'm feeding them and giving a place to live. So do you think you can give some donation to help? And she didn't want to give any donation. So she said, I've already donated my sons, isn't that enough? And Prabhupada said, oh yes, that's all right, that's all right. But actually it was very wonderful that she said that, because I actually said, I have donated my sons to you. She's actually said that, you see. So this is actually the mood the parents should have. Now I have donated my sons to Prabhupada and to, you know, the Guru Maharajas of ISKCON, you see. I've donated my son or daughter to you now. You are the proprietor. That's how the parents should actually see. I've given my son and my daughter to Krishna. So anything else?
A question unrelated to the topic, but she would like to ask, sometimes as a Krishna conscious devotees, we may encounter some people who are attracted to impersonalism.
Trying to what?
Attracted to impersonalism.
Impersonalism.
Preaching impersonalism?
Okay. Yeah. But then sometimes these impersonalists are also attracted to Krishna to a certain extent. But it is said that we should not associate with this kind of people. But sometimes, how can we talk to these people, or should we associate with them?
Well, Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Chaitanya's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is the ideal thing if you can handle it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Pakka impersonalist. And he saw this, here's a nice young sannyasi, why is he foolishly singing and dancing with these sentimental Vaishnavas? I had to train him in impersonal philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya agreed to be trained by him. So he sat for many days hearing impersonal philosophy. Finally, after many days, Sarvabhauma said, don't you have any questions? One's supposed to inquire from the spiritual master. You don't have any questions? And what Lord Chaitanya said completely shocked him. He said, actually, the slokas of the Vedanta Sutra are as clear as the brilliant sun.
But
your explanations are like the covering cloud. And actually, Sarvabhauma became a disciple of Lord Chaitanya. So, if you, what I really recommend that every devotee should be so expert in defeating impersonal philosophy. This is not for beginners. For beginners, it may not be possible. But anyone who's fixed up on our philosophy, they should be able to hear them and hear them until they fully explain their whole philosophy. And then you just like, you just defeat it. Just like hitting a pin and popping a balloon, you know. That's how it should be. Prabhupada actually was encouraged us very much to be able to defeat impersonal philosophy. In fact, one time he was flying to Africa, flying to Nairobi from Mumbai. With Madhuvisha Swami. Now just imagine, if you were in this position, how lucky you would feel you were. He's sitting there in the first class section with Prabhupada, the two of them flying together in first class section. They have big deities of Radha and Krishna in the seats in front of them, standing on the floor in front of them. He's going to be sitting there for 7 or 8 hours, or maybe 12 hours, just sitting with Prabhupada. You can imagine, you get to sit with Prabhupada for 8 hours? Wow, that'd be amazing. He was feeling so lucky to be in this position. Just sitting with Prabhupada for 8 hours on the airplane. So, once the plane took off, Prabhupada turned to him and said, "So, are you ready to fight?" He said, "Prabhupada, what do you mean? What do you mean?" Prabhupada said, "I will be the Vaishnava and you will be the Maivadi." And we will have a debate. So, Madhuvisha gave the Maivadi arguments, and probably very actually just defeated everything. So then Prabhupada said, "No, you be the Vaishnava and I'll be the Mayavadi." And Madhavisha is thinking, "Well, I just heard all the arguments for defeating Mayavadi philosophy from Prabhupada, so I'll have no trouble defeating the Mayavadi argument." But when Prabhupada preached Maivadi philosophy, Madhavisha could not defeat him. And Prabhupada said, "This is the art of debate. You should be so expert in defeating arguments. You can take your own argument and defeat them. And then make another counter argument to defeat that." So this is very, you should find some debate partners. One of your lady friends who like to debate Mayavadi philosophy with you. And practice this art of defeating Mayavadi philosophy. Because what do we pray? Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Poshacha Desha Tadine. And our respectful obeisances are unto you, O the servant of Sarasvati Goswami. Who have so kindly come to defeat this Mayavadi impersonalism and voidism and deliver the Western countries. So one should be very expert in defeating this. I haven't really debated in, with Chinese philosophers. What is their strongest argument against Krishna consciousness? They preach voidism here, don't they? Void, everything is void. Well, if somebody says everything is void, then I would just say, well, then you didn't say that. Because you don't exist. How can you say anything? Because according to your philosophy, you don't even exist. How you can make argument when you don't even exist? For you to make argument is contradicting your philosophy that everything is void. You're a hypocrite. Because you are making an argument, but if everything is void, there's no such thing as you or me to even make an argument with. I am acting in perfect harmony with my philosophical view. And you are not acting in harmony with your philosophical view. Therefore, my arguments are superior and your arguments are defeated. So there's many different ways. That's one way you can defeat them. Prabhupada encouraged us to ask people what is their philosophy. Let them explain it to us. And then we should defeat it. Because until their philosophy is defeated, they will not be submissive to hear the teachings of Krishna. So sometimes it's said we should not preach the glories of Krishna to the faithless, you see. The first thing you have to do is defeat their atheism and impersonalism and voidism. And then they will become a little faithful to hear after they're defeated. So it's getting a little late. And I don't want to keep you all up too late because Prabhupada said everyone should rise for Mangal Arti. So it's in the Krishna book. You can read it in the Krishna book. So whether you live in the temple, you live at home, everyone should rise by no later than Brahma Muhurta, an hour and a half before sunrise. Take your bath, have Mangal Arti, sing the Gavastakam prayers, and then chant Hare Krishna. So I'm just delighted to be back here in ISKCON Hong Kong after many years. And I thank you all very, very much for coming to tonight's program. I hope it has been of some benefit for you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.